cliffcentral.com. So I got a message from Woody here, and if you've just joined us, good morning. It is the 22nd of July. I've got to help you with the calendar because everyone's so confused whether it's the weekday, whether it's a weekend. Lockdown has changed the way we think about everything, so sometimes it's good that I just mention where you are and what time it is. So Woody says, morning guys, it's slowly getting warmer. When I got up at 3, the temperature was 14 degrees, unlike yesterday when it was 8 degrees at the same time. Well, don't get excited, Woody. You know what happens. August always has this really cold snap somewhere in the middle of it. And usually spring day in South Africa, the 1st of September, which is supposed to mark the change of seasons, is usually a pretty cold day. I've never had a 1st of September where it's been like t-shirt weather. But there's Woody. Some other messages that are coming in from people. I need a wine and beer supplier. This is from Kucho. Can someone please help me? I drink the cheap beer, but I'm unwilling to compromise on wine. I know a cigarette supplier. I can trade alcohol since I don't smoke. People are getting very crafty. Kucho, I wish I could help you, but I know so many people are in the same position. They just don't know where to get the stuff they need. Holy shit, people are losing it over you having David Icke on the show. I just had a deep dive into your So What Now replies section on Twitter. Yeses. I don't know why people don't just refuse to watch the episode. I refuse to watch whenever you give Unati a platform. It's that simple. Well, this is, by the way, from Sandile. So, look here. There's this strange thing that's going on in the world where certain people think not only that they can choose to watch or not watch something, but that they should also have the authority to tell other people or to ban other people or to prevent other people from seeing and hearing stuff. So I've got David Icke on the show tonight. It's going to be a great show. And by the way, David Icke's on for like 5-6 minutes. And the rest of the show is probably even more entertaining because we've got Julieta Ta-Levy, who's from the Financial Mail. We've got Pumlani Majozi from Liberty Africa. And we've got John Flismus, who is just fantastic. And, you know, he's just taken over as head of marketing at Henley Business School. And we talked about a bunch of stuff, and everybody was really insightful, and I think it's probably our best show yet. And we're starting to get into a flow, which was the point. Anyway, we've got David Icke, who is the world's most famous conspiracy theorist. Now, people are already screaming and losing their minds on social media. Look, it's a handful of lunatics on Twitter. But they're losing their shit without even hearing what I've got David Icke on the show for. Now, he is the world's most famous conspiracy theorist, right? But I'm not having him on to talk about his conspiracy theories. I'm having him on to talk about conspiracy theories generally, because there are a lot of conspiracy theories doing the rounds at the moment. There are lots and lots of people who are talking about COVID like it's a big conspiracy. So I thought, well, let's get the world's most famous conspiracy theorist on. And he agreed to come on. So it's quite a big deal. And he has been banned from a number of platforms because he is controversial. He does believe in, like, the Queen of England's a lizard and, you know, the Jews are controlling things, and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, and he believes all this crazy stuff.
Which, Gareth, if you're putting him on your show, it means you automatically agree with everything that he says, and you are endorsing all of the things he said, even the ones you don't know about. Yeah. And if it comes out in 20 years that he's got a sketchy history, that'll be on you too.
Yeah, I know. So obviously I can only have guests who are perfect people.
Yes, and everyone that you talk to is there, it's endorsement. I mean, God knows, we chat all the time, and you're 100% behind all of my life choices.
thinking about it now, I'm not backpedaling.
I'm living according to the Gareth plan.
Not that I'm backpedaling, but I realize for the people who already don't like you, Gareth, or have their own ideas about you, and they saw that, teaser, it set them off completely. Well, understanding where a promo like that came from. We're making television, folks. We're trying to attract more viewers. And so, of course, we're going to have his crazier or wildest comments in that 30-second teaser. The guy chats about other things.
We're talking about you.
we talk about so many other things. Of course, it's not just a whole conversation around the fact that there is no virus, according to him. But look, I think people must watch and make their decision afterwards.
Do you know how many ordinary people are saying exactly what David Icke said during that interview? You know how many normal, ordinary, quite sensible people in the world are saying, yo, this seems like a government conspiracy? Because it's such a weird situation. Don't tell me that we're living in completely predictable, ordinary times here.
And there's a degree of journalism to it as well. I mean, it's your responsibility if you are trying to have a open platform for discussion and not just a cuckprat entertainment platform to give audiences as many.
But let's be 100% clear on this. I'm not a journalist, and my show on ENCA is not a news show, okay? It's really not. It's a conversational show. It's about stuff that's going on that we're all dealing with.
But you're having a conversation show and wanting to get broad perspectives on it.
Of course, thank you. I agree with you 100%.
As a journalist, it's a responsibility, but from your perspective, it's just professional.
But these people, look, none of the people who are complaining on Twitter are people who I take very seriously. None of them are people who you should take seriously. They're all raving lunatics who've either lost their jobs or who get upset about absolutely everything. It's their main job now is to get upset with things on social media.
But, and, you know, if they're talking about you, so
yeah,
that's good.
They're doing my marketing for me. It's great.
But that's the thing that really pisses me off. Like, I'm not trying to suggest I spend a goodly portion of my life defending Gareth Cliff. Most people just want to, you know, they're positive. Like, oh, you know, Gareth, what's he like? Total dick. Oh, really? That's disappointing. Yeah, me too.
Is that a conversation between you and someone else?
It's when people have an issue with you, and I get this as well sometimes with FHM, that as soon as they start talking to you about their issues with it, it's clear they didn't read it. Like,
these people could not have seen this show.
They've made their own assumptions about how we dealt with relationships.
It hasn't aired yet.
Sex advice. You know, like how to roofie a woman in 3 easy steps. This was like how to not screw up your opportunity to please a woman. This amazing creature has deigned to allow you access to the bedroom. He has advice from a real woman and sex therapist on how you as a man cannot fuck it up. And like, pornography, like we never showed a single nipple in that magazine, and like all the women that were in it were very much so voluntary, like we had to always make hard choices with all the people that wanted to be in it. But people talk to you like, oh yeah, it was that, it's now what we decided it used to be, even though kind of I've picked up an issue here and then flipped through it but never read it. It's people who've never listened to you who decide like, oh, Gareth's racist. I'm like, look, Gareth's a lot of things and not all of them I agree with, but he's not a, and like, you know, it's just, it's like, okay, well, you've made your decision based on no research. Why are we talking about this?
This is exactly the point. So a promo went out yesterday for the show, and some people saw David Icke in the promo and just flipped out. These are pure emotional reactions from people who think they know exactly what's going to happen. They haven't
and
seen...
And you have no power and think they should decide people that have earned their platform.
Well, you know what? They don't have power, but what they do is they bully my guests. So... one guy was like telling Julieta, who's on the show before David, she doesn't talk to David or interact with him at all. She's like, he says to her, this other guest of mine, how could you go on a show like this? Like, he's pressuring her and bullying her because she happened to go on a show where he's also appeared. And she replied to him and she said, like, excuse me, I'm not a child. I'm perfectly capable of deciding what shows I want to go on. Gareth's allowed to have whatever guests he wants.
And you deliberately get people who you don't necessarily agree with on things.
Well, I won't lie to you. I was thinking about having Ntsiki Mazwai until she started saying these things about Fresh. And I might still have her on, for God's sake. I've had people my second guest on cliffcentral.com was Julius Malema. You could not find two more politically polarized people than him and I when it comes to ideology. But I get along with the dude, and he's interesting to talk to, and he's great for ratings.
Yeah, and he's cuck funny.
I'm starting to realize that, you know, we used to look at the likes of Justin Bieber's fans and how literally where the word comes from, how fanatical they are and how mob-like they are. Look, just because you're a rational-seeming adult who has a 9-to-5 doesn't mean you also don't have your own case of cuckoo and mob mentality. Yeah. When we see people like this.
The verbiage is also what bothers me. Jordan Peterson mentions it sometimes. So it's Ben Shapiro, yeah? conservative Jewish dude?
Yes.
The verbiage is what bothers me. So Vice magazine used to be such a great underground physical magazine, DIY. I bought a book when I was, this is 10, 15 years ago, a coffee table book, The Vice Guide to Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. And it was like a collection of their best articles when they were a really low budget, independently made, super controversial, cutting edge rock and roll and punk magazine and alternate lifestyle magazine in the 80s and 90s. And now it's this like virtue signaling, gatekeeping, better than you, hip to hip, 20 something better than you platform for criticizing stuff. And they wrote the scathing review of Eminem's new album saying that essentially what the review said, which would have been fine, was this album has a massive audience, but those audience are the same people that were listening to Eminem 20 years ago. He's retained his massive audience, still sells millions and millions of copies. However, that audience is not me and my friends, so it's not for us. Instead, it was like he has no place in rap. He doesn't have the right to be doing what he's doing because his audience aren't cool enough. Not that he doesn't have one, not that no one's listening. But then he said, there's the song, there's the very hard-hitting song about the Vegas shooting. And then there's one where he's with Ginger Guy and 50 Cent, Ed Sheeran and 50 Cent, and they're singing about being in a strip club. So the one
is a very song about social issues.
With respect, now this is a massive diversion. The point is just, there are a lot of people in the world who are not content to just stop watching something or stop listening to something because they don't like it. They want you to as well.
But I promise my point is done. It's just, it ends with this. The word is used was, Eminem is so hypocritical. Gun rights people get a voice, but strippers don't get a voice. He's suggesting that Eminem decides who get a voice. The point is, he's earned his own voice to say what he wants. He's not deciding which issues are important.
But these are exactly the people who haven't yet earned their own voice, and they're still carrying on as if they deserve an audience. You don't. You know how you get an. Listen, I've been at this radio thing for like 20 years. The audience I've got is the audience who's come to me because they like what I do. And if they didn't like what I did, they'd go away. You don't have a right on social media to that audience. Earn them yourself. Make a relationship with them yourself.
There are those that listen to you just to kind of disagree, but that's fine too.
It's still their choice, and they enjoy it on some level.
In fact, I love those people more, just quietly between us.
Yeah.
Damn it, man. My producer had to say, just watch the show.
Yeah, just watch the fucking show.
And use the hashtag so what now.
Thank you so much. I'm dying to see the show now.
And share the link around.
We're going to have bumper ratings tonight. So you can watch So What Now on ENCA tonight, 8:30. Make sure you don't miss it. Tell all your friends, because David Icke is on, and if we don't watch him, the lizard overlords will win.
Now, that was a well-worked promo, guys. I mean, I've got the notes here. It says, work it into conversation, seem natural, don't oversell it, emphasize the controversy around coming show, segue in and out smoothly. You spelled smoothly wrong, Sia. Okay, so just focus. Did we sell it, guys? Because I thought that was
great
natural.
Hang on. Guys, the mics are still on.
Okay.
So here's a message. Here's a message from Nikki. She says, David Icke isn't as crazy as everyone thinks. I will certainly watch tonight. I love the fact that you offer an open show. No bullshit. Good day, Gareth. I do not have TV. So what other means will I have to be able to watch the interview? Sam. Well, Sam, what we do is we post a link on cliffcentral.com the next day. So you'll have to wait until Thursday morning and we'll post a link to the episode.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat. No broadcast TV, so I'll check it out. I'd check it out online as well.
We'll see if Gord and I can watch as the most successful team in Premier League history is playing. Go, go, Man U. That's from Greg.
Yeah, that's later. A lot riding on the game for Man United fans as well as Chelsea and Leicester fans. So interesting game, night of football tonight.
Never walk alone. 90 minutes, 4-4-2, kick the ball, defend, and wicket keeper.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, you're getting
and,
there.
And did you just say, and wicket keeper? That's great. I don't know. Yeah, I love it.
It counts.
Okay. Gord, you have compiled a list of the most basic white girl names. Now, I almost wish that Mbulelo was here to share this with you, because we know how much he has a complete distaste for these basic white girls that you're about to give us names for. But have you discovered a substantial number of these names, or over time you've just compiled a list that you
well,
added to?
Well, there's kind of your bedrock basic white girl names, and then there's your the sort of seasonal ones that come and go, right? Where it's like whatever's – if there's a famous character in a popular TV show or a young celebrity.
Let's just be clear. Hold on, Gord. These names are the fault of the parents.
Yes.
So it's actually the generation before. We must not blame these girls themselves for
but
these
the self-fulfilling names. Prophecy is that these kids are born into basic white households, and so most of them come out basic and white. You know, that's why it's the cart before the horse. So
this is just for a contrast. This is exactly like if we had a discussion about names in African-American families, like Quantaniqua and yes. Shanishwa and –
You Water know, Melandria.
Water Melandria, exactly.
That's one of my favorites, right?
Ladasha. So,
so what are these names? Let's go.
La Hyphena. So there's the basic classics like Kelly that never go out of fashion, where you won't find a black girl called that very often.
Kelly but Rowland.
Like, Chloe's a big one. What about Brittany's an evergreen?
Yes.
Tiffany's another evergreen.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you've got like Miley, which had its moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, I had better examples last night. But
Bianca is a good one.
Bianca is another winner, but these are all more classics. We need more contemporary.
By the way, I just want to be clear. Like, I do know some girls with these names who do break the mold. But sure. that's exactly the point. It's like the exception does not make the rule.
Bethany, that's another great one.
Bethany. What's wrong with Bethany?
Nothing's wrong with them, but that's
just
probably
very basic.
White. They probably can't even and love to go to Tasha's.
Bethany, hey?
Bethany, Chloe.
Would a Michelle fit in?
Michelle's kind of pretty middling. I mean, Michelle is
classic or
it's
basic?
Classic. It can, it's. I mean, you do get a lot of basic white girls called Michelle, but it's not a red flag. It's not like a basic white girl alert flag like a Chloe would be.
So, you know, I keep a list of the worst Afrikaans names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a thing.
Is Henku on it?
Listen, dude. Henku's there. This thing is so long now. It takes up – it's a note in my notes app. But I found some new ones.
I know. Is Marnu on there?
Marnu's on here. You got Marnu.
Yeah, then your list is complete. So you've got Henku and Marnu. You've solved
all right,
it.
Here's some good ones. Rikenet. Lunique. Izelka.
But this is Pretoria East vibes where you combine like either the aunt's names or the husband and the wife's name.
So this goes into the same category as Quantaniqua and Shanishwa and Bethany, okay, because
so we would call our child Gorethwa.
So okay, here's some more. Zarilla.
No way.
I would never put the name. I need documentary evidence that the name actually exists, otherwise I don't add it to my list.
Oh, you actually need a CID when you meet one of these people.
I ask the people
who one of these people, I mean someone with an odd name, not
so
Afrikaans.
The ones that I've added. It's either I've seen an estate agent's board.
Sia's trying not to choke to death. I wish people could watch Sia.
No, you know,
alone.
You know how when you've got a house for sale, they usually have the picture of the estate agent and her name or his name?
Yes.
So that's where I get a lot of these, okay?
From adverts, because you live in Pretoria, so you probably see quite a lot of...
Oh, yes. But then I ask people to submit them to me. So I'm on a number of WhatsApp groups, and all the people on the different WhatsApp groups know that I collect these terrible Afrikaans names. And so they send me a screenshot of someone who sends them a friend request, for example.
That's just kind of funny.
And then, how's this? Leniqua, which could be African-American, frankly.
It really could be. I could see Leniqua working at the Purple Pleasure Palace.
Clinette. Clinette, with a K. Elunda.
Yeah, I could buy Elunda.
Andrunay. These are so good.
Andrunay.
So I'm not gonna pile on, but I've got such a list. Wow. And I do I keep another list of black names that are really difficult to pronounce for white people. Because that's always fun to watch. And then I find like And we used to do it as a feature on the show. So I would make people pronounce names like Dieketseng and Makholokwa and Nomakamangu and things like that. Because then, you know, especially with the clicks and things. So I love stuff like this. I keep these lists for my own puerile, stupid, childish entertainment.
And I kind of, they're very endearing to me, like these names and stuff. There's something about them. It comes from a place of love. Like, yeah. I wonder a lot about like what goes into naming things and people. And I get like, I was stuck on the word toast the other day. Like if you really fixate on the word toast long enough, it'll drive you mad. Just like what person decided one day to make that sound with their face when they encountered twice cooked bread. They were like, we need a better word for the twice cooked bread. What do we know?
I know someone who couldn't say the word toast. They used to call it totes.
How could they not say it?
I don't know. They just couldn't say it properly.
I knew a girl who couldn't say froth, and she said froth. And we would like make her say it over and over again. And turned out, eventually found out she wasn't taking the piss at all. She just couldn't get her mouth right for froth.
Look, as a human being who is saying submarine for 25 years up until last week, I should keep quiet at this point.
Gord, did you hear that? Siak thought that
submarine.
Yeah, he didn't know that it's a submarine. He thought it was submarine. So great, just so.
It was like a Latin American submarine with rhythm.
Yeah, you see, it's my rhythm ancestor. Submarine.
Wow, someone is called Lilette, but that's not the worst name. It's just the name of a tampon.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Oh. I mean, it's so, like German people who are still called Adolf.
Before we get to Phil, who's going to join us in a minute, I got something really sweet yesterday. It was a friend of mine's birthday, and he and his wife, they got married 2 years ago, and you know, I was there for the engagement, and I was there at the wedding, and we've kind of we've really just been very close friends for a long time. And it was his birthday yesterday. So I pitched in for a birthday present because they're actually in PE at the moment. Anyway,
that's nice.
The wife sent me this video of him unwrapping his presents. So I was busy with the show and everything, and I said, I'll watch it later. I just sent a little, you know, like a kiss emoji back to her to say, you know, happy birthday to him. Anyway, I watched it later on in the day, and he's unwrapping his presents. And the present's wrapped in like three or four layers of wrapping paper. And then he eventually gets It gets to this box of Lindt chocolates. And then she says to him in the video, open the box. So he opens the box. And inside the box of Lindt chocolates is a pregnancy test. And they have been trying for a kid for a little while. So this is really exciting. And it just made me very emotional for the two of them.
Oh,
congratulations, Gareth's friends.
Isn't that nice that as a birthday present, his real birthday present is he's going to be a dad. Isn't that sweet, Sia? I knew you'd like that.
That is.
And for a brief moment, he was like, fucking Lindt chocolates for my birthday. Are you serious? Thanks, guys. Yay. So fucking hard times economically. What a dick.
Good for
you. That bottle of Lagavulin and now this. And then boom, happy story.
Kala says this morning, the best solution for you guys to make non-alcoholic beer that gives you a legal buzz is to add THC drops to it.
Just smoke weed.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that.
Well, whatever you do, work very quickly because pineapples have gone up in price again.
Oh, really? Because people are brewing their own
people shit. We're like lots of people and not just your artisanal brewery friends who enjoy this kind of thing. We're like legit mass amounts of people making actual pineapple beer and drinking it because that's so fucking dangerous. You don't know how to do it.
And they were buying yeast and I mean, it really is dangerous.
You know, there's that, you know, it's serious when her name is Wendy Nola. She's that Consumer Watch lady journalist. And she did a whole article yesterday about how the price of pineapple has risen over the
outrageous.
Past 2 weeks. It is a problem.
She was upset. Hello. I'll go and open the door. Hello.
Is it the FedEx guy?
Oh, God. I hope it's not the FedEx guy.
Who's at your house, Gareth? Go check.
Ah, it's Philip Kutzer. How's it, Phil? How are you?
Morning.
Nice to see you. Yeah, good. Phil, this is Gord. You haven't met Gord before, and Sia's here. And these are the couple of thousand people who are with us this morning. So now you know everybody. Okay, hi everybody. Phil. All right. So listen, Phil. Last time we spoke to you, just to give everybody a bit of context here, and it's your first time meeting some of them. I introduced you to Philip, who's the owner and dealer principal at the Witt Motors. That's in Ermelo. And I haven't ever been to Ermelo, so when Phil and I met for the first time, I was kind of curious about this place. But it's in Mpumalanga, and he does have lots of clients all over Johannesburg and Pretoria and other parts of the country too. And he was talking to me about how bored he was with hearing me complain about my car. And he said, look, let me give you an experience that will make your life a little bit less irritated, because I don't want to be bored with hearing this every morning on the show. And he's given me this car to drive for a little while, which is a GLC 300. It's a beautiful Merc. It's just unbelievable. And I actually posted a picture on my Instagram yesterday of the way it connects to Apple CarPlay, which, by the way, is just it's my favorite thing about cars that they make now, as opposed to cars that they made 20 years ago, is the way that, and George Meany's spoken about this in our Auto Central pod on a Friday a couple of times.
George Meany.
Yes, you love George Meany. But George has spoken about how everything is about electronics now and technology. It's not, you know, it's not the engine size or the fuel consumption or horsepower or any of that stuff. Most of us experience the car from the inside. And that experience has become really technological. And I just love the fact that I plug this phone into the car and the two talk to each other. They make sense of each other. And I've got two assistants who are in the car with me the whole time. Like I go, hey Siri, and then Siri does this and says, how can I help you? And then I say, hey Mercedes, and she goes, hi, how can I help you?
And I feel and like the weather in Japan is 49 degrees Fahrenheit.
Exactly. I mean, she
can you say, no Siri, please plot the best route to Buccleuch. Belgium was founded in 1327 by King Leopold I.
So basically, I just want to say thank you to Phil for like reminding me of how much has changed and how much better cars are than they've ever been. So Phil,
I hate my car too, so this is right up my alley.
Then you got to listen to what Phil has to say. So Phil, first of all, we spoke very generally about the car that I'm driving right at the moment, but you have a dealership and you have Mercedes there and you have Hyundai and you have a bunch of other cars too. And I reckon you could drive a new car. A lot of people don't know this. You could drive a new car as regularly as every year, and it doesn't have to cost you more. And you don't have to buy a new car every couple of weeks. You know, you could drive a new car every year for those 12 months, and it can cost you the same, if not less. I didn't know that Mercedes-Benz had their own bank. This is all mind-blowing. So, in other words, they have this situation where they have their own bank, and they have this package that they offer where you can drive, you can lease their car instead of having to buy it. And this makes a lot of sense, because who wants to own a car? It devalues over time.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's quite a few people that do would like to own a vehicle, but I mean, there's some negative things about it as well. I mean, you've got a maintenance plan. When the maintenance plan expires, you're going to pay for your services and anything that goes wrong on the vehicle, of course.
Correct.
So that's one thing. So, and people are misinterpreted by the thing where when you go to a bank and you finance a vehicle over 60 or 72 months and you trade in your vehicle before that time expires, I mean, you never own the vehicle. The bank owned it. So it's more or less the same on the agility scheme. You'll not own the vehicle, but it's the same process you go through on applying for financing on driving a new car. Or pre-owned.
But you don't have to worry about the maintenance and...
Exactly.
Okay, so this sounds too good to be true, but there must be some caveats. I mean, you know, they wouldn't offer this if they were going to lose money on it. So is there a limit to how much mileage you can do?
I mean, that's a cool part. I mean, because the package we can cater to the customer needs. I mean, so if you're driving to the office and your office is like 5 km away from your home, I mean, we can do 10,000 kilometers per annum.
Sure.
And then I go up to 40,000 kilometers per annum. So,
and basically then that brings the price up or down accordingly.
Exactly. The more you drive, the more you pay per month. Hmm. So, yes. And after 3 years, you'll just give the vehicle back. Just to give a basic understanding on how financing works. So to make it easy for everybody, I mean, for every 50,000 that you finance through a bank on a car, more or less your installment will be 1,000 rand. Okay, that's T's and C's and credit ratings and so forth. So in other words, if your car is 100,000 rand, your installment will be 2 grand a month. If your car is 500,000 rand, your installment will be more or less 10,000 a month. That's the easy way to calculate it. So let's take, I mean, either instance, I mean, I send you an example of, let's say, a GLA we've got in stock now. I mean, if you finance that vehicle over 60 months, you will pay 10 grand per month for 60 months. If you do agility, you will pay 7,000 rand for 36 months, and then you're done. So I suppose the trick is, I mean, we know when you're going to be out of a car in 36 months, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm. So we know we can sell you a new car every three years.
That makes sense. So that's why it works for them, because otherwise it would be, you know, the minute something's too good to be true, you're like, well, it's too good to be true because it's not true. But that makes sense. So, okay, agility. I didn't even know this thing existed. Just tell us quickly, is there a payment you have to make up front? Is there, because this is like a lease agreement, as you've already explained, but there's no hidden, you don't have to pay for, you know, engine problems, or if something goes wrong, or you just take it back to the dealership and they sort it out for you.
No. So I mean, the vehicle obviously comes standards with a maintenance plan, which is not a service plan. A maintenance is almost like a warranty.
Yeah.
Anything that goes wrong will be fixed in the vehicle. So, I mean, if your engine blew up on 90,000 kilometers, if it's still below 100,000, we will put in a new engine. So, I mean, in the 36 months, I mean, if you're going to put, let's say your mileage is 30,000 per annum, you will end up on a 90,000 kilometer, more or less. I mean, if you go over, you pay a penalty per kilometer, let's say either 2.50 rand or 5 rand, depending on how big the vehicle is and how expensive the car is. So it's not like the contract is void by if you go a little bit over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, for me, it's the maintenance issue is always the key in this whole argument.
And Phil, if I decide, let's say I've taken out this agility deal and I've driven the car for 12 months and I decided I really like it and I want to keep it, do I have an option to...
Absolutely, yes, yeah. So after the 36 months, I mean, you've got the first right to buy the vehicle, or I mean, whichever time you sign up for. If you do a 12 month, what we found is normally on new vehicles, your sweet spot where you're going to get your best installment is 36 months. All right. When you get to pre-owned, we can also do it on pre-owned vehicles. There it gets excited. There it's the sweet spot is 1 year. So you get amazing deals on a 12-month agility deal.
Well, Gord and, I mean, Sia drives a little bit more than Gord, but Gord's been out of the house like, what, 3 times, Gordo, over the last...
I avoid leaving. Yeah, I get my Google Maps report, and it's like, distance traveled, 318 kilometers, places visited, 6. And it's like, I use it to... I filled up, I think, twice under lockdown. But I mean, yeah, there's grocery stores within that are close to me. But yeah, I'm not driving very much at the moment. I think the point that Garrett's making.
I think that's true for a lot of people. But when we start to again, and that will happen. I mean, funnily enough, yesterday I was driving, and I noticed traffic for the first time in a while. Someone had there was an accident, and there was traffic backed up near the reverse.
Oh, every time you say it, it's like Mufasa.
I know, it's scary. But
don't use the T word.
That just shows you that there is a huge amount of traffic starting to build up again, and it won't be long before we do have to travel to appointments and resume, in inverted commas, our normal lives. And maybe that's when you think about, well, I'd rather drive a nice car, and there are ways to afford it that you don't even need to own the damn thing. You can basically lease it. I didn't know this was a possibility. So thanks for that, Phil.
And it's if and when things normalize a little bit financially, I'd like to get something a little bit less crap than my Toyota Auris. So this is good to keep in mind.
All right. So Phil, you've apparently got a special on for just Cliff Central. You've got this one car that is really, really cool, and it's available. And you thought you'd just mention it in case there's someone who wants it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so this is a This is a E220 cabriolet.
Sia, you'll love this. Sia, you know what a cabriolet is, right?
I am Googling as we speak.
There you go.
That's when you look sexy with your top off.
All right, so tell us the details of this thing.
Sure. It's an E220. It's a pre-owned vehicle. I think the mileage is just over 10,000. I mean, not that you're actually going to care about it because it's not your car. You're going to give it back in a year's time. So 2019 E220 diesel cabriolet. It's got the AMG styling package and about, I will say, about 150,000 rand worth of extras also included in the vehicle. Ooh. If you go and buy this car today new, you will pay on about 1.2 million for the vehicle. Okay, so, and we can do this vehicle now for on the Cliff Central special, let's say about till the end of the week for 10,000 rand per month for 12 months.
So, in other words, you're telling me you could drive this 1.2 million rand car for 10,000 rand a month for the next 12 months?
In other words, it's going to cost 220,000 rand to rent a car.
And you've got a convertible. Holy hell.
Ooh, Phil.
Right, well, converts in more ways than one, let me tell you.
Listen, get hold of Phil if you're interested in that. You can just email him info@dewits.co.za. All right, but one other thing, while we're talking about these cars and things, there are, I'm just blown away by how amazingly technologically advanced these vehicles are now. There's this app that you got me to download for the car that you've lent me to drive at, you know, at the moment. And this app, I can actually unlock the car from my phone. I can lock the car from my phone. I can start the engine. Just tell me what else I can do with this thing, because I haven't really played around with it a lot. But it's amazing. It gives me all the details on the car. And
exactly. I take a little bit of a course because it's quite a bunch of stuff that you can do. I mean, the app has just been upgraded as well. So, I mean, you can do fuel consumption, you can open windows, and as you mentioned, start the vehicle, lock the car. If you parked your vehicle at a shopping center, you can't remember where you parked, I mean, you can look it up on your GPS system. So,
that benefits so many people.
Sia, it told me on Monday when we went to record the TV show, and the car was parked right outside the TV studio, it tells me the car is locked or unlocked. And then it allows me to do it from wherever I am. I don't have to go to the car and press the key. Isn't that phenomenal?
How many times have you parked at home, you take out the grocery shopping, and you've already done 3 trips to and from the car, you're now seated on the couch, and you go, oh, damn, did I lock the car?
Well, you just go on the app and check. And it actually sends you a notification and says, do you want to lock the car?
That is nifty.
I love this. It's just very cool. All right, so Phil, thanks for the update, and I'm sure someone's gonna grab that special with both hands. If they don't, I might. So thanks for the info. Very cool.
And listen, Gary. Last thing, by the way, I've sold your car, your old car. It's gone.
You're kidding?
Yes, no, it's gone.
Whoa. Oh. You should have put that in a box of Lindt chocolates.
That's amazing. You should have hidden that in a box of Lindt chocolates, and then I could have had a surprise. That's phenomenal. Okay, so Phil, Phil has achieved his goal. This is what happens when you get the professionals involved. You've sold the car that I couldn't stop talking about because I was so bored with it. And you've managed to solve that problem for me, but at the same time, you've got rid of the problem for you of me complaining.
Oh, awesome. No, just happy for you guys.
You're a genius. So you've actually sold my car.
Got it. Yes, settled, done.
Amazing. Jesus. Yay. What a great day. All right, thank you.
Mazel, guys. Wow. Mazel. Nice.
There's Phil. Phil Kutze. You can get hold of him by emailing info@dewits.co.za. And he's the expert when it comes to these things. I mean, I tried to sell that car. At the beginning of lockdown, I went onto all those websites that sell cars. And they were giving me prices, and I thought that they were probably not great prices. So you go to the experts, you get the professionals involved, and look what happens. So thanks, Phil. Nice to speak to you.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Very, very good. There's Phil.
Goodbye.
Sure. How's that, Gord?
In addition to that stylish Mercedes Cabriolet, there's also a bang average Toyota Auris 1.6 2010 going going for 115-odd-K or like whatever you've got on hand and a good joke, ham sandwich and a kind word.
Oh, James.
It's like driving a stormtrooper helmet. My brother put it perfectly when I said, look, there's nothing I really hate about this car, but he's like, is there anything you like about it? I'm like, no. The thing that drives me the most insane is there's nowhere in the whole cockpit cabin area to put a phone. You can't put your phone down. If you don't have, you can put it on the passenger seat. There's no little hooky to stick it. You have to put it in the cubby hole or hold it in your hand or put it on the passenger seat. No one thought like, let's put a place to put shit that it's easy to pick up and put down.
That's annoying as hell.
Fuck, it's annoying. And it's like, there's nowhere. There's like a little side compartment, but it's out of reach. There's a little one in front, but it's too small.
I'm thinking about that line you just used of, you said there's nothing that you hate about it, but there's also nothing that you love about it. Do you know how many people say that about their relationships, even if it's quietly to themselves? Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, I've been in a relationship like that where I had to get out of it because, not because it was terrible or dreadful or anyone was a bad person, just because it was like, well, it was a very lukewarm kind of way to potentially spend the rest of life. Sometimes you have to make that call. Like sometimes it's more harmful over the long term for something to be not dreadful and just slowly grinding you like sandpaper, right, as opposed to like hitting you with a series of trucks like my previous ex. I've had the one where it just wanes over time. I just wanted to also mention, because every time I've wanted to bring it up, someone else has been talking. It's not me snoring into the microphone. Have you got Carl there?
Carl snoring audibly.
Yeah, I've been able to hear him, and I'm just imagining people thinking, yes, is that Gordon breathing into the mic, all sweaty and fat, being hairy. We can hear how hairy he is. And
I love the way you say you've been wanting to say something, but someone else has always been talking. It's you.
Dude, I'm
fucking always talking.
I try not to talk. I mean, I try. You guys don't realize that for everything that I blurt out, there's 10 things I don't.
Oh, so this is the better version.
This is 3 years of learning restraint.
It must be exhausting in your head.
Exhausting. It's got its moments though.
Oh,
you know, I've been doing this show for more than 3 years.
We've been doing it for 6, Gord.
Yeah, I know, but I've been here for half the time. I still feel like, to an extent, I still feel new on the show.
No, but waking up is still new to you.
You know, people...
I make the best of it.
People really like you. Here's some messages for you, Gord, to just give you a reason to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I love listening to Gord. It's the only reason I wake up on a Wednesday morning. How's that?
Oh
dude.
The only reason?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, and also I'm glad I could break the cycle of sleeping through Wednesdays. A lot of people take a hibernation day. Obviously a white listener.
Yes.
Here's a good point from Carla about what Phil said earlier. An easy way to see what he's telling you is that you're actually buying kilometers, whether you use it or not. The rest, the capital cost, maintenance, etc., is the dealer's problem. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. And thanks, Carla, for explaining it. Some white girl names that you might have missed out on.
Yes. Brittany, I forgot earlier.
This is H. H says, I knew two Afrikaans women years ago. Their names were Arinda and Mirinda.
Were they related?
They were sisters.
Because I mean, that's the best when you give like team names, Arinda and Mirinda. That's like Auntie and Marty.
And Gord.
Nick and Rick.
Gord was talking. Or Rick and Morty.
This is Nick and this is Rick. And these are my sons, John and Don. And my daughters, Rena and Tina. And my other sons, Nathan and Bathan.
You just get the secondary option. You even just trying to make a rhyme.
It's like a very real danger. I constantly want to adopt animals so that I can give them stupid names. I want a dog named Chris so badly. And a cat named John. Or Sarah. Louise.
Louise the cat.
And Richard. Nicholas the dog, and you call it Nick for short. But when it's in trouble, you call it Nicholas. Nathaniel, stop it.
Did we get here?
Gord was.
I want a cat called Pat. It can be female or male. It can be Patrick or Patricia, and it will be Pat the cat. I don't know why no one's done this already. we were doing so well.
Chris.
What was the other white name?
This is my dog, Chris.
Well, yours is called Carl, but even Carl is not quite ordinary enough. There's a bit of humor in that. It's got to be deadpan as fuck. Ryan.
Ryan the dog. Yeah, I like that. All right. So here's a message we got. Gord started the show this morning talking about how his ancestors used to hibernate. So Alistair sent me this. Grizzly the cross-eyed bear, Tunnel Bear, and Gord the bear all getting ready for hibernation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a long-standing thing. You'll have to listen to about 10 episodes of Gord's appearances to understand all of that. But basically, bears have featured very heavily.
Bears have been a thing, yeah.
Read the Johnny Depp story. By the way, I got some corrections on yesterday's discussion of Johnny Depp. This Amber Heard testimony in court in France is just unbelievable, or in Britain. It's unbelievable. Apparently, she took a shit on his bed. And she's a total raving lunatic, this woman.
And anyway, not like in a consensual, that's what we're into in our private lives kind of way.
No. It was as a like spiteful thing. So there are more and more details emerging. Lee says, I can't watch TV or movies with famous actors anymore. I can't get lost in the character when I know so much about their personal lives. Think of the older actors, De Niro, Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer, etc. I have no idea who they're married to or if they have kids, etc., so I can enjoy their characters. Too much info on social media and access to information has spoilt all movies and TV, in my opinion.
Amber Heard, vengeance turd.
vengeful turd.
But I agree. Like, there's a thing about, and I never want to, I'm about to turn 39, and I really don't want to ever be one of those back in my day type of people. But, you know, there was something about being like a metalhead and a nerd about certain things. Growing up, it was hard to find information about the bands you really cared about and the celebrities you really cared about or whatever you were into, the extreme sports stars, whatever your shit was. And, like, there was a mythology about it, and there was almost a currency in knowing about, you know, like James Hetfield's birthday is this day and whatever. And you could, like, it was almost like street cred, but there was effort that went into, and there was a degree of kind of misinformation that almost made it more fun. You know, when you find out the real story behind that, the song didn't mean, you know, it wasn't written while sacrificing his lost sister and all this shit. Right. Like, there's a degree of mythology. And now, like, and finding new bands, I used to scour. Like, I'd meet a friend of a friend, and I'd see that they had a bunch of music I didn't have, and I'd give them 10 of my CDs to hold while I took 10 of theirs, and I copied them all, and I would listen even if I knew I didn't like it. Now it's like friends are like, check out this 5,000 bands in the genre you like. And I'm like, oh God, please just listen to it all for me and let me know if there's any good songs. So I also like direct access to celebrities, and that has ruined things in exactly the way that the listener said, but it's also in some cases worked. Like, I feel really embedded in the day-to-day life of Metallica. They do it really well. A lot of good content if you're a fan, you know, like concerts and cool shit. But other times you just like, God, like, I used to love this musician, but I'm so bored of hearing them complain. I've unfollowed almost everything I used to love.
You had to do a bit of work to prove that you were a fan. In other words, it wasn't as easy, right? And it felt like you'd achieved something because you'd gone to the you remember those music magazines, Gord?
Kerrang, Metal Hammer.
Jesus, man.
Dude,
And they used to have those pages where they would have so much information in like fine print and little speech bubbles about how
I remember.
You know, this member of the band is married to this girl, but maybe he has a child, we can't be sure. And it was all like you had to get deep in.
Oh, this is before me.
Oh, no. See, now the internet fulfills this purpose because you can follow these people.
I grew up just on the cusp of signing onto fan clubs. And I used to get like newsletters from Michael Jackson every week. And I thought, oh my gosh, Michael,
he's on the line. Michael, go ahead.
I just want to say, I actually used to write those letters to Thea. But I stopped writing them when he turned 12.
Thanks for joining us from the afterlife, Michael. I just wanted to know if you could tell us, if you could put into words what your response was when you first saw that Sia Sangweni had signed up for your emails.
I thought, what a beautiful young man, and what a great ambassador for my fantastic music.
Thank you, Michael.
I love all my fans, and I love all the children, and I just want to say that I am in heaven now, but I'm looking down on you.
Oh, Michael, your music touched me in so many places.
I love the idea of Michael Jackson looking down on me. I would take it over having to look down on him.
Oh!
But, Johnny Depp, like, I was having a discussion with my bestie Gumpy about it the other day. I just don't enjoy him. Like, this whole controversy – look, I mean – if somebody, like the listener was saying, you don't want to know about the person's personal life. And I was like, I hated the fact that there was this outcry over Gary Oldman, who's one of my favorite actors, if not my favorite actor, winning an Academy Award. And there was allegations that he had issues with his wife and they wanted to take it away from him. And then it turned out it was bullshit. And I was like, this is ridiculous. But if someone's like a Harvey Weinstein, I don't want to be involved anymore. But I never cared about, like, well, not that I never cared about it. I wasn't following Johnny Depp's personal issues. I knew that him and Amber Heard had some shit and he was apparently a nasty character, blah, blah, blah. But I just find him so samey, and he seems like an android. Somebody said to me, and I love this.
I'll tell you what, I know what you mean, because
he's weird, he's creepy. It's like I never liked Prince.
I used to like the fact that Johnny Depp was actual friends with what's the dude's name? Hunter S. Thompson. Okay, and the two of them would do weird shit, and Jack Nicholson was also a friend of theirs, and they used to, you know, smoke a lot of stuff and take some drugs and do crazy things. And I mean, I've read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and I think Johnny Depp actually did the eulogy at Hunter S. Thompson's funeral before they fired his ashes up in a
cannon. He's got cool points in your book.
He's got cool points. But those Pirates of the Caribbean movies were so stupid. They're so stupid.
I like the first two or three, but even this was part of our discussion. Like he's watching all of them, and I'm like, how many even are there? But Tim Burton as well. You know, I really enjoyed Nightmare Before Christmas and the Batman movies, but he puts Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp in everything, and it fucking ruins it. It's like, I love a Tim Burton movie. I'm tired of these two actors, Helena Bonham Carter in particular. She gives me the creeps.
Well, so, now it makes me re-look at all of them.
I'm just bored of him. I'm over
him.
What, say that again, Sia?
It makes me relook at all of these people. It's like they had this cool eccentric factor. Now it's like, well, actually, what are you generally doing when we aren't watching?
Well, I don't want to jump on the bashing Johnny part of this, because really all we've heard is Amber Heard's testimony, and she seems like a crazy raving
Amber Turd.
Yeah, crazy raving lunatic and an unstable Mabel in every possible sense of the word. So I'm just going to reserve judgment for a second.
Yeah, well, one of the latest things that came out in court, because, you know, in the whole process, you know, the court investigates and sees texts and whatnot. So they saw texts between her and Elon Musk. And at a point, Elon Musk was offering her 24/7 security, so that she can protect herself from Johnny. It's just a messy thing right now.
Anyway, I got this, which is much more to the point, from Mbulelo. You know,
Mbulelo.
Mbulelo. He said, The Undertaker, who was in the WWE, has just released a documentary about his years in the WWE and why he kept his public life secret. And apparently it is brilliant. And people
his private life.
Yeah, he's kept his private life secret. Private life. And he kept the character mysterious. And now people are just hungry for that stuff, which goes back to what you were saying, Gord, about how you don't know, and that message that we got, you don't know that much about these people. It makes you more interested in it.
And sometimes it takes off the allure, and other times it kind of works. But somebody said to me, and it was really, I loved this. Somebody said to me, there's a similar thing that I feel with Johnny Depp and Netflix movies, when Netflix make their own movies. Netflix make a movie, and it seems like what aliens would do if they were observing us and trying to make movies that we didn't notice were made by them. Like the same as like Elon Musk also seems like he and Mark Zuckerberg and also to an extent Johnny Depp, they seem like they're aliens trying to fit in and almost getting it right.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is. And here is finally, just to close the show off, because it's 8 o'clock already, Nikki, who says, pat the cat, fill the dog, and squish the fish. Those are names that she's wanted to have.
Yeah, I like the rhyming structure. I hate the way that people always do the alliterative naming of animals, like Donnie the dog and Ronnie the rabbit. Like, we would all be called Harry, you know.
The human.
Yeah, Helen.
But Arthur. Squish the fish. Man, that works.
I'm sorry. I think my next dog's got to be called Chris.
Yeah, Chris, Christopher when it's in trouble, or Nick, John.
That's so great.
Right, well, this was worth getting up for. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Yay. Glad you find it that way. Don't miss our show this evening. So What Now, ENCA Channel 403. It's on at 8:30. The very controversial show.
Lots to love, lots to hate. It's a big healthy debate. Judge it first and watch it later with Gareth.
At 8:30.
At 8:30.
There we go. Thank you very much. And we ended with a song. Beautiful.
Bye, guys.
All right. Ciao. Bye. CliffCentral.com.